praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm not saved.
Yes.
It's good to be here. You are such a blessing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is good. Now, let's see. Where and how I'm going to do all this. That one I might not use so much. Are you doing fine today?
Yes.
Yes, yes, sir.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I would like us to pray together before I start ministering the word. Would you mind standing up with me and doing that? Hallelujah. Now you know that when a minister or anybody stands up here or around here, comes up to minister, if it's singing or if it's ministering the word in some way, form or fashion, it's so important that the rest of us are drawing. We're drawing from the well. That we're in tune, that we're hungry, anticipating and expecting the Lord to work and to minister in and through the person ministering the word and in and through us. That we're always aware. And that we come together as a family and come together as children of God, meeting in His name, drawing from Him, expecting Him to speak, expecting Him to do miracles, expecting Him to move among us, to walk among us, and do what only He can do. So, Lord, we come before You right now in the name of Jesus. I come before You, and I just thank You and praise You for the yes, awesome responsibility, but the grace of being able to come and or having the opportunity to come and teach and preach Your word, Lord. Now, I submit myself to You. I commit myself to You. And I ask You, Lord, to fill me right now. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Guide me. Put the words in my mouth. Speak to me and through me. To each and every person in this place. You know the needs. You know where we're at. You know each and every person in here. And You know what you need to do. You know what you're planning to do and have planned to do this day. In and through us. Each and every one. So I commit my tongue. I commit my mind. I commit my heart to You. Cleanse and purify. And I just thank You for using an imperfect vessel, Lord. Thank You for using this vessel for Your glory. Thank You for using each and every one in this place for Your glory. Touching each and every one in here. Ministering to and through each and every one in here. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord. Thank You for being here. Thank You for being right here in our midst. We worship You and praise You. Oh, we're hungry for You, Lord. We're hungry for Your word. Just like the heart, just like the deer pants for the water brooks, so our heart pants after You, Lord. We long for You. We desire You. We long for You. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Walk among us. Heal and restore. Speak, Lord. We yield ourselves to You right now. We yield our hearts, we yield our bodies, we yield our spirits to You right now. Come and speak to us, come and minister to us. You know what we're struggling with, You know what we're going through. You know our joys, You know our ups, You know our downs. You know everything about us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and administer Your grace to each and every need right now, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, and administer Your grace to each and every need. By Your mercies, Lord, minister Your grace to each and every person in every need, at every level, everything in everyone's life, Lord. Just come and minister right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Leave us not unchanged. Leave us not unchanged this morning. Leave us not unchanged, Lord. Come and transform. Come and change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Transform me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, blessed Master. Oh, blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Touch each and one in here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're walking up and down the aisles, Lord, and touching people right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for it. Praise you, Holy God. Praise you for your mercies and your grace. Praise you for your loving kindness. Oh, barakat Yahshua. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My heart exalts in you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just taking the throne in this room. We crown you. We praise you. We worship you and give you honor. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you and honor you. Your name above every name. You are the King of Kings, O Lord of Lords. Holy God, my Savior and my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord wants to be very personal with us. He's always personal with us. Hallelujah. 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 He's always personal. Anything not personal, he just waits. He'll just take a seat and he'll wait for you until you're ready to get personal with him. And he's right here and he wants to be personal with you and me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Are you hungry? Are you guys hungry? You know, we need to be spiritually hungry. We need to know how to possess our vessels in a godly way. And spiritual hunger is something that God wants always. Because he always wants to fill us. He always wants to feed us with his meat, with his bread, and his everlasting living water. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Hallelujah, Lord. Are you done? No. I took these along in case I need them. Some days I need these. Some days to read is very difficult. But the Lord is clearing up my sight. Amen. I'm believing him for it. Amen. And it's working. He is working. In verse 40, in the 14th chapter, we read like this. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Is this a scripture you have read before? Anyone? Do you recognize it? Pastor Femi's read it. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. This is important. Let all things be done decently and in order, or in an orderly manner. God is a God of order. And I think it's important. Whatever we talk about in the kingdom, there is a divine order of things. Do you agree?
Yes.
Well, I have three areas where God wants to show us His way of thinking, His order in the kingdom. And there is an order. First of all, there's an order in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, or as a church. There is a given order. Sometimes we have ideas about how things are supposed to be done in church, right?
Yeah.
What we've done here today is we've had an order. We had an agenda, right? We have. We've gone through an agenda. And this is good. It's good that we have an agenda. We, step by step, we move through the worship service. Sometimes we think our agendas are hewn in stone, and that God made these agendas. And maybe He didn't. Sometimes I think we have good agendas, and He is in favor of them. But I believe God has agendas for every meeting, for everything we do, but He has also an order of things in the church, in the body. And let's look at God's order in the body of Christ. All details, there's so many things. We have preconceived ideas, things we learn that I believe God wants to deal with in our mindset, in our thinking. And one of them is our view of church and how church is supposed to be done, how church is supposed to be run. And we view church as a set of bishops, pastors, leaders, and we go to church every Sunday. You know the drill. You know what I'm talking about. We have a tradition. We have a traditional way of looking at what the church is and what we do. And I want to look at three things. First of all, the body of Christ, what are we? In the scriptures, it says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. We can go there. Let's read this. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What does this scripture tell us about what the church is? Come on. Help me. What does this scripture tell us about what the church is?
It's a body.
A body. What is a body? It's a living organism. It's a living thing. My body is a living thing. I have many members, right?
Yes.
The head is up here. But notice, even if I lay down, or if somebody grabs my feet and holds me by the feet, my head is always the head. The head is not the head because it's on top. The head is not the head because it's the highest or the best or the it's not built where I am the head is right up here and the rest of the body will serve the head because it's the highest in geography or in the mindset. The body needs the head, whether the head is below, on the side, wherever the head is needed to be connected to the body, and without the head, there's no such thing as life. From the head streams the whole nervous system, every signal to every part of your body comes from the head. Life flows from the head. Your body can be without oxygen for a long time, but not your brain. Your brain, if it's without oxygen too long, you are declared dead. If you can keep oxygen flowing through, blood flowing through your brain, the body, you can, even if it's in a coma, the body can be preserved a long time. Right? That's the same with us. Sometimes the body of Christ is in a state of coma, but the head is alive. Who's the head?
Jesus
is the head. And sometimes he needs to knock us out of our coma. He needs to really deal with us because we need to realize, wake up to the truth of who we are, what we are in him. He is the head. We are the body. Okay? It also talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12. But we'll go there later in a little bit. But the scriptures also talks about that the body of Christ or the church is something else. If we look at Ephesians 2, 20 to 22. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. What does this scripture tell us about the church? What are we? We're a building. Amen. We are a building, a habitation of God, a temple of God. We are being built. And a temple, just like an earthly temple, is not just one piece. An earthly temple is made up of bunch of materials, rocks, wood, fabrics, what have you. And all of it is needed to make the temple complete. Amen? Every piece. And the foundation of it is laid. And the cornerstone of the temple is who?
Jesus.
Amen. Then we have a third building. Third picture. And that is in, let's say, John 15. Let's go to John chapter 15. And the first verse says, I am the vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I want to let this scripture be general. But what, for what I'm getting at, what does this scripture tell us that we are?
Branches.
We are the branches. And who is the tree trunk? Or the trunk of the vine?
Jesus
is the trunk. Now, next step, as we read through John 15, we can also find something else. In the branches and in the trunk, what is the life flowing there? This sap in a tree. You know, if you cut a tree, you'll see sap coming and squeeze the tree, and like the pine, it really flows sap from that really quickly. If you start peeling bark off with a knife, it'll start bleeding sap. And that sap is life. That sap is like almost like blood in our system. It needs it. Every branch needs it. If the branch is nicked or harmed where the tree or the branch wood is open, it might dry and rot, and sap will stop flowing. Okay? We need the sap flowing. The sap, we need the Holy Spirit flowing from Jesus, our trunk, our main vine. Okay? all three of these pictures, and they're different. When this third point is, you could put it, we are a garden, and Jesus wants to make us a well-watered garden, bearing much fruit. We have pictures of a tree, we have pictures of a vine, but in the Old Testament, we also have pictures of a garden, or in James, we are a garden, and the husbandman, the father, is watching over this garden, making it, watering it, taking care of it, nurturing it, so that we grow and that we bear much fruit. The three different pictures of who we are and what we are. Why is this relevant? For many different reasons. Many different reasons. What I've been getting at is, number one, God has an order in creation. He has order in the church and in the life and ministry of the church. He has ordained certain things that needs to be, and without it, we won't grow. And that is ranging from anything. For example, if you were a branch and you do not abide in the vine, you are going to die. And he will eventually cut you off. But he's also put in place in the building, not just Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, he's also put in place a whole foundation of apostles and prophets. And he's building the whole building with stones, you and I. And if we remove any part of the foundation, our building is going to crumble. It's not going to last. The body of Christ, we use that term often. Body of Christ is just what it is. It's a body. And the head, Jesus Christ, makes his life flow in and through and down through the whole body. There's a divine order in the body. In your physical body, there's a divine order of things. And he has ordained life to flow through your body. And every part of your body is needed, but without the head, the rest of the body is dead. A divine order of things. The order, God's divine order, is about position. Number one. Here's three other points. It's about position. It's about who he created. Let's just focus on the body of Christ and the individuals of it. Who he created you to be. You have a divine part, a divine ordained part and place in the body. It's important for you and I to find that place in the body. Not just choose what we like, but to find a place he has ordained for you and I to have in the body. Number two, there is a divine order for moral and ethical life in the body. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. God has ordained a divine order in the body for moral and ethical life. Moral ethical life is the way we think, the way we value our value system, how we live out our faith very practically. There's a divine order for those things that we need to adhere to. And number three, there is a divine order for spiritual things and for ministry, the call of the church, the what we are about, what we are to do. There's a divine order for the spiritual life of the church, of the body of Christ, of the building, temple of God, of the garden of God. There's a divine order when it comes to spiritual life and ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. This is kind of a introduction and laying a foundation. Okay? Because sometimes when the Lord wants to speak, wants to move in our lives, we have preconceived ideas based on tradition or other things that hinders him from doing what he needs to do in our lives. Some of us run to the pastor to hear what the Lord wants to say about a certain situation in our life. And God says we all have access by the same Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just Pastor Femi who's saying, well, I heard the Lord say this about your life. Go and do this. You can do that, but not until you ask the Lord yourself. And until you get your preconceived ideas that's hindering the Lord to work in your life on a one-to-one basis, you're going to have a mess. You're going to have a lot of struggles in your life. Because nobody else can tell you, except the Lord, what he really wants. And he will use Pastor Femi or somebody else to confirm what he has spoken to you. That's why it's important to learn and understand. Learn to understand God's order in life on all different levels, including church and spiritual life. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Because what I want to talk about is actually spiritual gifts. But spiritual gifts without understanding God's order of things is very difficult. Very difficult. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And please pray, because I know the Lord was wanting to minister to us, each and every one of us. So please pray and draw out. Help me to draw out what the Lord is wanting to speak forth. Let's start reading. We're going to read a few verses in the 12th chapter. We start in verse 12. You ready?
Yeah.
For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's a powerful statement. It's no accident that you're called a Christian. The real reason why you are called a Christian is because you are the body of Christ. You know, when you speak to me, you don't look at my foot and say, down here, this is Robert down there. Only. This is me. On the other hand, if I cut my leg off and put it over there, that's still really a part of me. It's a part of me, all of me. Robert is my fingers, my arms, my belly, everything about me. This is Robert, not just the head, right? So I belong to Christ. I'm in him and it lives in me. I'm part of him. As a body, we are a living organism, all part of the same body of Christ. Important to understand this. For by one Spirit we all are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. We're made to drink of one Spirit. The body needs, you need water, right? Well, the body of Christ needs water. The Spirit of God is our water. We need to be filled with the water of God on a daily basis. Just like a human being needs to be filled with water, we need to be filled on a daily basis. Without that water, or using the other picture of a tree or a branch in a vine, without the sap, you will die. Without the water, you will die. We'll keep on reading. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. It's not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. It is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. 2 points, main points, is that the body has many members. You are one of them. And you are needed. It's important for you to find your place in the body. Not to assume that you just live your life ad hoc and just seek the Lord a little bit whenever you can. You need to find your place in the body of Christ. Why? Because the second point these verses I just read makes is, it says, he placed the member, each one of them, in the body as he desired. That tells us that he has a specific thought, purpose, and plan for your life in the body of Christ. He has a desire for you to find your place in the body. Might as well just say that now, see if we get around to it. But you do not only have a place in a specific place in the body, you have certain giftings for you that's necessary for you to do what God has called you to do when you find your place in the body. And if you dibble dabble around doing something that you think you should be doing or you like to do, having no thought, but what is God's plan for my life? What does God really want me to do? What has he gifted me with? You're not going to fulfill God's perfect plan for your life until you're ready to say, Lord, here I am. Show me. If it takes half my life, show me. If it takes all my life, show me. Lead me. Equip me. Open my eyes. Open my senses. So I put me in the place where you want me. In the functions that you want. Okay? Let's keep on reading. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The scriptures here, they emphasize this over and over again in these verses. And when it's emphasized, the purpose of that is that we might think we understand, but we really don't grasp at first glance the depth of what the scripture and what the Holy Spirit is telling us. So ponder this. You are a part of the body of Christ, a member, individual member of the body of Christ. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the member of the body which seem to be weakest are necessary. The parts of the body that seem to be weakest, they are more necessary. We look at our bodies, you know, especially if we bodybuild and you have big upper body and big arms and you're strong, you go show yourself strong, it looks like, wow, this is strong, this is necessary. But, you know, the weakest part of what seems to be the weakest part of the body are more necessary. The heart, the kidneys, the liver. Liver doesn't look very, very strong or impressive, but it's all the more necessary. I can be without an arm even. I can live without an arm, but I can't live without a liver. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us through these scriptures. And however little or insignificant you view yourself, that might be just a clue so you understand that you are all the more important. We're all members of the one body, Christ. And it doesn't matter how small and insignificant you in fact are or is, you're all the more necessary. Amen. He has put in you gifts. He has put in you things that you might not have any clue or idea about. But you are absolutely necessary for the whole body of Christ to function. And why the scriptures keep repeating this over and over again is for this one fact. We are not so smart that we think we are. We don't have it all together. And it's giving us something very, very specific and concrete to look at and ponder and go over. Wow, I'm part of the body. Maybe I'm the little toe. It's great for balance. Or the big toe. Wonderful for balance. Or kicking football. What if a place the Lord has for you, it's important that you have in your heart a desire to fill that place and the ministry that He has for you. You know, He doesn't want a bunch of Kenneth Copelands or a bunch of Benny Hinn's or a bunch of only this or that's or prophet this or apostle that. He wants you. And He wants to minister in and through you. Nobody can fill your place. I don't care who it is. Pope John Paul II or anybody else cannot fill your place in the body of Christ. And you need to understand that. You need to wake up to that fact. That truth. Okay? Dear Lord, we'll keep on reading. This is good reading. We read the word way too little, corporately. Let's see where we were at. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, here it comes, not just strength, but honor. You know, we like to be the person standing on the pulpit, you know, on television, and they're honored by many, many, many. And they, when they speak, everybody gasps. But the scripture tells us, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need. But God has so composed the body. Let me stop. Did you catch what that scripture tells us? Who seems to be so important, they're the less important ones. The Lord is really, it's not cutting them down. He's just saying, they're less important. And the ones that we think are less important, He's giving more and more honor to them. We need to turn things around, not get blindsided. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. Some of the members of the body doesn't need more honor. They have plenty. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
So that there be no divisions in the body. Some of us don't need to be the hot shot. We don't need it. Some people in the body might have a personality even. Just bring it out of the way it is. Some might have a personality where they feel the need to be in the limelight or center. And we can discuss that, but this scripture tells us that those important members of the body who are They don't need to stand there, but to give honor to the members who lack. We honor them because they need the honor. They need to be lifted up. And so does Christ. So does the Lord. He kind of brings equality into the body so that there be no division. Okay? So that one doesn't think that, well, only 10 people said hi to me today. 100 people went to say hi to that person over there. But the Lord is working in our body, and he is in tune, and he thinks it's very important that those details, that we eliminate that source of strife in the body, so there be no divisions. And some of us that have a hard time not getting enough pats on the back, we enjoy the pats on the back that we get by the grace and mercy of God, and then hopefully we grow up into Him where we need less and less of it. Okay. But that the members may have the same care for one another, it says. Same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is the will of God. Now, you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church. Let me read that again. Now, you are Christ's body. Each and every one of us in here is Christ's body, part of Christ's body, and individual members of it. Right? And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle worker or workers of miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kind of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Right? We have different parts. We're different parts of the body. We're different gifts. And here I would like to say, Romans chapter 12 tells us that these gifts are not, once again, are not showing us a hierarchy of people in leadership that sits on top. Romans chapter 12 puts the emphasis on function, not on positional honor. The scripture just made, the Holy Spirit in these verses just made a point of taking this matter of honor out of the picture, where we have equality, where we take care and care for one another equally, right? And then he brings us to this. After he says this, he says, so I place these fivefold ministry gifts in the body. But those fivefold ministry gifts are not supposed to be viewed as the Catholic Church views the Pope. That kind of mindset is not in the New Covenant, New Testament scriptures. But according to Romans, those ministry gifts and all gifts of the Spirit are functional gifts on a functional level. And one limb, one part of the body is not supposed to be exalted above another in value or honor. But we do that all the time. If we look at our churches around the world, we do that all the time. Pastor so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And we go and do the opposite of what the scripture teaches us to do. This could even grieve the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit really wants to do in an individual's life and in a corporate body. a local church, a wrong view of God's order could potentially hem or keep back or hold back God's will and purpose for that church. God's order in church is so important. Understanding God's order in the church is of utmost importance. And he goes in detail, giving us examples for us to get our minds straight concerning this. Okay? Then it says, after it says, everybody's not a prophet, everybody's not an apostle, everybody's not a worker of miracles, blah, 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 right? Then it says, but earnestly desire the greatest gifts. The scriptures tells us, and in other places it tells us, do not think about yourself more highly than you ought to think. Do not be conceited. Do not be high-minded. Find your place in the body and learn what the Lord has gifted you to do. Don't try to be some other hotshot. Be what God has called you to be. And do that with all your might. And the gifts and his equipment that he has given you and wants to give you, number one step toward that is to earnestly desire the greatest gifts. And then somebody asks me, what's the greatest gift? What do you think is the greatest gift? Well, if a person comes up to me with a personal problem, no physical problem, maybe a spiritual problem or something, and I need insight from the Lord to minister to this person, what would be the greater gift necessary in that situation? The gift of healing? Physical healing? No. There are several other inspirational gifts or revelation gifts that would be necessary for me to minister adequately to that person. That would be the greatest gift. Or if a person comes up lame in his body to me and I'm supposed to pray for this person, what gifts would be the best then? That I tell him who his grandmother is? No. The gift of healings, the gift of faith, right? So the gift of prophecy or other things that we do, we have so many ideas of, wow, this prophet there, my man, is a powerful man of God. Well, you know, hello, he's part of the body, and he's important. But don't think of too highly. You're part of the body, and he's needed as well as you are needed. And your gift is needed. And there's a place and a time for you and your gift to work what God has purposed. That prophet so-and-so coming to your town is not going to do squat. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know, and we are so prone to do this. And it's hindering what the Lord needs to do in the body. We need to get real. This is important. It's important for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow in the body of Christ. It's not Pastor Robert who is supposed to minister the word of wisdom or word of knowledge or healing. It's supposed to flow from the body. Word of prophecy is supposed to flow from the body, not just one or two people in the body. It's even, if we read chapter 14 here, it tells us this Corinthian church, they were majored on this. The gifts of the Spirit, this is what they did. So Paul the Apostle had to tell them, hey, wait a minute, let two or three prophesy at one time in a meeting. And there's order in the way to do that. If one starts prophesying and another gets a word, the first one shut up, sit down, and let the other one take over and prophesy. But no more than two or three. Because God is not the God of confusion, but of order. So these guys, they were standing up. They thought they had revival. They were, you can imagine, that place were probably shaking because the people were wild. Spiritual gifts. These people knew about spiritual gifts. The interesting thing is that in this church, the Apostle Paul starts 1 Corinthians by telling them, I can't speak to you as grown-up people. I have to talk to you as babes in Christ. Because you have so much strife, you have so much sexual immorality, you have so much sin going on in your church. But they were still being gifted. They were still flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Interestingly enough. But they were still limiting what God could do. Because they were not walking in God's order. Because they didn't care about holiness. They just cared about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm a prophet. Hallelujah. I'm a prophet. God doesn't care about your prophet. Not to exalt you in the flesh. He does care about you if you're a prophet to minister under the authority of Christ, the head. He cares very much about that because he's placed that kind of a prophet or prophets in the body for specific purposes. Okay. Let's see. All do not interpret, do they, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then he says something very powerful at the end of this chapter. And I will show you a still more excellent way. In the last part, absolutely last sentence of the 12th chapter. And I will show you a still more excellent way. Love. As we walk in love, childish ideas by exalting ourselves or getting into strife for diverse manners of stupid things becomes less and less important. We love one another. And faith works when love is present in the body of Christ. Faith is easy when the love of God is shed abroad, not in just one person's heart, but among the believers. To the point that in the first chapter of Ephesians, he says, I have not ceased to pray for you, Ephesian church, since I heard of the love of God that exists among you, he says, and the faith that you have toward God. Since I heard that, he says, I have not ceased to pray for you. And then he prays a very powerful prayer for the body of Christ at that local church in Ephesus. And if you are careful as you read through the epistles of Paul, he begins it the same way with minor differences. And you will find this key of love and faith in several of his letters to the local churches. Two keys to abundant life in Christ and the abundant blessings of God in Christ. The love of God shed abroad and manifested among the believers, and faith working. This is why Paul says, and I will show you a still more excellent way. As we desire gifts of the Spirit, as we desire ministry giftings to minister to the people of God and other people outside the church in different ways, the love of God is the more excellent way. It's the high road in flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether they be spiritual gifts or ministerial gifts. The love of God is the most highway. It's the highway to this. All right. This is why the 14th chapter and first verse says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. First verse in the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. I just briefly want to mention. Pursue, that word, means, could be translated, persecute. It's the same word that you translate as persecute. That pursue, love, means that you are supposed to pursue it to the point of being annoying, pursue it with everything you have. Almost to the point of persecuting the Lord of love. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You're knocking, asking for it to be open. You want it, you want to walk in love so much that you're just annoying. You want it so much. Pursue it. Almost to the point of persecuting the Lord. Almost to the point of getting on his case so much it's unbearable. Even though he can bear all things. But that's an important point. The intensity of that word is extreme. That's what I want to bring out. Pursue love. It's not just, oh, why don't you seek some love? It's supposed to consume you. And the second one is desire earnestly. I would say it's not quite as strong as pursue, but it is still desire. Earnest, wholehearted desire. Spiritual gifts. It's not going to come to you just by the Lord hitting you over the head. Hey, this is your gift. You need to seek it. You need to seek those gifts. Or you won't start working or flowing in them. Amen. Praise the Lord. What time do we have? When did I start? Do you know? How long have I been going? Do you know? About
1 hour.
I've been going an hour? Wow. Where's time? Okay. Now we'll round up. Round up with what, though? Yes, Acts 10:34, Romans 2:11, and several other scriptures tells us that God is not no respect of persons, or he doesn't show partiality. If you want gifts, or flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can pursue love and seek them earnestly, and whoever you are in the body, he will give you them. Okay? He does not look at you and say, nah, you're not worthy of this. Because God only uses unworthy servants. There are no worthy people. If God would look at us and see, oh, he walks in faith perfectly and he does this. And if we look at the Corinthian church, we know that's not the truth. Because if we read carefully, we understand these guys, they were a mess. But they were flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not equal being holy. Pursue love, desire earnestly the gifts. The Lord will not show partiality. He will release his gifts into you. But I want us to read from the first verse in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Will you put it up on, please, Brother Douglas? Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1. Because we're getting to teaching about gifts, and gifts, they're not something that you own. The Holy Spirit owns them. You yield and he will use you. Okay? But you can desire earnestly the spiritual gift and the greatest gifts. You can desire to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And do you know that that means that you can flow in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit? If you're the only person in a place that really is a believer, the Lord can use you, and he will, if you yield and say, Lord, here I am, use me, he can use all these 9 spiritual gifts in and through you. But depending on who you are and your place in the body, some of those gifts might work more adequately and more powerfully in your life than other gifts. But let's read this. 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, because we're oftentimes ignorant. Non-informed, in other words. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the gifts of the Spirit is not something that we are supposed to parade around. Look at me, I have these gifts working in my life. The reason for the gifts is to minister to one another for the common good. And the only one that should have any honor in this is Christ Jesus our Lord, the Holy Spirit. He is the one. The Father, God, is the one working these gifts in and through us as we yield, humbly yield to him. With a heart of being loving one another, caring for one another, ministering to one another in the love of Christ. Okay? And then we have the list of these 9 different gifts and what they do and what they are. And at another time, we'll look at that. Rounding up, I want to say that Luke 11 tells us, I want to read that to you. Luke 11. Earnestly desiring the greatest gifts, that's step 1 toward flowing with the Holy Spirit, letting him use you with the gifts flowing in your life. Okay? Step number 1 is desiring earnestly this, the greatest gifts. But as in anything in the kingdom of God, you will not receive anything unless you do one thing, and that is ask by faith for it. It comes by prayer. It comes by asking the Lord to give you this. You earnestly desire it, and you ask him for it by faith, knowing that when you ask by faith, you will receive. And number 3, you need to be ready to step out in faith and let him do this through you. Okay? But I still want to read, even though I'm keep talking, I still want to read this to you. Let's see if I could. Verse 5 to 13 in the 11th chapter. Then he said to them, suppose one of you had a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me those loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a long journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door's already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Here comes the earnestly desiring part. If you earnestly desire this, You need to be like this guy going to his friend in the middle of the night saying, I need some bread. I got somebody coming. I don't have anything to give him. Would you please give me? I'm your friend. And the guy in bed says, I don't care if you're my friend because I'm in bed with my kids. But because of his persistence and being just annoying, he gets up and gives him bread. That earnest desire needs to be there for you, not to give up. Okay? Then we read, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, who is that?
Everyone
who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? So the Lord won't give you something else that you're not asking for. He will give you what you're desiring. Or if he asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? This is to assure you that the daily water that you need, the daily dosage overflowing, supernaturally overflowing, copiously, superfluously flowing Holy Spirit in your life, he will give it every time. Ask him, desiring him earnestly, him personally. And his gifts. It won't come to you unless you do this. And when he gives it, you're going to have, as a third point I just made a while ago, you're going to have to be ready to act on what he has said or what he has given you. And that means that when you sit here in this meeting and the Lord tells you to stand up and ask if you can say something, because the Lord revealed something to someone in the congregation that happened, or he needs, or she needs, or whatever, you're going to have to be willing to step out and do this by faith. And you don't have to be prophet so-and-so. When you do this, you do it very simply by daring to take a step of faith, get up out of your seat, go and ask the pastor, or go and just, this family of ours, just ask if I can say something. And then you can also say, I might be totally out in the woods somewhere or wrong with this, but I have the impression I need to say and do this. That is humility. And that is showing that each and every one of us is invited to prove what is being said. Any prophet or any person stands up in the midst of you telling you this is the way it is, and he doesn't allow you to prove what he says, you shouldn't listen to him. You're supposed to prove all things. This is a step of faith on your part. Earnestly desire the gifts. Ask for it. Be annoying. Ask for it. Seek it. Knock. He will open it for you. And then step out and start ministering. And you can do so in a safe place family like this. Being open and transparent, relaxed. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. It is a training curve. It's a training. You're training for eternity. We are all training for eternity. Okay? These are some basic things. And one of the major things God put in my heart, we need to start to understand that God has an order in creation. He has an order in the kingdom. He has an order in the body of Christ. He has an order in your individual lives. And he has an order in the way we conduct our ministry and conduct our life practically, morally, ethically, and spiritually. And we need to be willing to adhere to that. To submit to that, humble ourselves, to that, to His will. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you and thank you for today.
Okay. Hallelujah.